Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues here on American Family Radio. Thanks for listening to AFR. I'm Tim with Walker, and we are joined now by Steve Jordahl, as we are each weekday morning, this time slot. How you doing, Steve?
I am well. I'm well. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. You're genuinely welcome. Now, what are you going to do for Christmas? Are you going to stay here in Tupelo, or are you going
staying
out to California?
I'm not going out to California. I used up all my vacation days this year, so won't be going far. No, I've got family coming out.
I'm trying to think if Walker, if we got any vacation days we could trade Steve for.
He's going to have to pay something.
I also spent most of my money this year.
Look, so, I've only got two days left.
Even so you're out of days and out of money?
Out of days and out of
that
kind of
money. Sounds like a Johnny Cash song.
I know, right?
Huh? All right, so you'll be staying home watching the Raiders not go to the playoffs.
I'm going to be watching the Raiders not go to the playoffs. Thank you, Tim.
I'm sorry, Steve. Let's start over, shall we?
Yeah, good morning,
Steve. How are you, my brother?
I'm well, thank you.
Okay, what do you got just lead us off with today?
So, you know, the House is debating impeachment. The full House are going to vote later today. And I thought about bringing you guys some clips of this, but then I thought – really, it's nothing we haven't heard a thousand times before, so I didn't. But I did bring some new information that I think is pretty telling.
Okay.
Yesterday, for the first time, Real Clear Politics showed an average of polls that impeachment was now less popular than popular. It's underwater. Impeachment is underwater in the polls. Today, two polls out, and this would contribute to the Real Clear Politics average, but these two individual polls, USA Today found that 41% support impeachment, 56% oppose. That's like 11 points.
That's not good for Democrats.
41, 51, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 15 points.
Yeah.
My math.
When this first started, now, these polls are typically, there's a margin of error, but the consensus amongst most polls was about 51% of likely voters approved of impeachment, but this is basically flipped.
It has, and the margin of error isn't 15. Quinnipiac came out with a poll that found that 45% support and 51% opposed. But what was so shocking about the Quinnipiac poll, independents oppose impeachment by 22 points. 58% opposed. Only 36% of independents think impeachment is a good idea.
Wow.
So this isn't going exactly the way Nancy Pelosi planned.
I'm pretty sure she didn't plan on those numbers.
Now Nancy Pelosi is going to tell you, if you ask her about this, we're not doing this to garner favor or to lose favor with the American people. We're doing it because it's the right thing to do.
Why are you laughing, Walker? Every politician in Washington, D.C.
That's what she's saying publicly. But if you get her off mic and go walk down the hall, she's going, good night. Can't believe these.
Yeah.
I tried to tell him.
I told you guys.
To turn it off.
I can't believe these. We're losing the independent voters over this. Don't they see? Vader out of the White House.
At least the Democrats are being somber about it. If you look right now, I'm looking at Nancy Pelosi in the House floor. They did this in the impeachment committee. All the Democrats are wearing black because it's a somber day. Last night was a somber night when
she's going over the national anthem.
Yes.
To which the Republic stands, or is that not the national anthem? The Pledge of Allegiance to the flag.
Wow.
I hope Colin Kaepernick's not there.
Right?
He's going to be on his knee, isn't he?
The Pledge of Allegiance to him and to the Democrats normally is repulsive.
Yeah, unless you're impeaching our newly elected president.
To the progressives.
Yeah. In fact, let's play this now. I have a.
What are we going to play, Steve?
This is a guy that's kind of like campus reform, but not. Went on a college campus to see how many students knew the Pledge of Allegiance. Apparently Nancy thinks she does. But I want you to listen to how the Pledge of Allegiance is being, since we're talking about it, how the Pledge of Allegiance is being, how it's known. This is Cut 16.
Do you guys all know the Pledge of Allegiance?
Yes.
All right, let's say it at the count of three. One, two, three.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, under God,
one nation, under God. Forgot the last part.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
Who is that?
To the republic.
This
from
is
which
students
it stands,
on a college campus.
One nation, under God, indivisible, for service, justice, and for all, or something like that.
I pledge allegiance to America.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States Republic.
Now, of course, what if you did 100, I'm not question, I do want to question you about this. If you did 100 interviews and 10 of them do with those people,
those 10 we get on video.
Okay, so.
So I don't know.
I don't know how representative it is,
but the guy that
Do they even do this in school anymore? I don't even know.
Well,
a lot of us.
Some do. It varies.
They certainly don't
school.
Do it on university campuses.
Some still do the Pledge
no.
of Allegiance.
And I didn't do it at college either back in the 80s.
Yeah.
You didn't have the. I didn't.
Right.
I did it in my early days of school.
The Pledge of
my,
Allegiance?
In the probably K through 4 or 5.
Okay.
But not as much in middle and high school.
But I wonder. I wonder how that works. If it's still just school district, probably school district
it varies.
By school district.
Right. Yeah.
It just depends on
now
what
you
the
can't
principal.
You can't compel somebody to participate in that. A student can not. I never knew one who didn't.
There were a lot of lawsuits, or I remember several lawsuits in the early 2000s where some students or parent would sue a school because their student didn't want to stand for the pledge or say the pledge. And so I remember the courts saying if you let the kid, you can excuse the kid, let him out.
Or they can just stand at their desk and
well yeah but you
know I always had the feeling a lot of if you don't like it leave it you don't want to stand for the national anthem or you don't want to now this is a tiny percentage of people
sure
mm-hmm. or you don't want to say the Pledge of Allegiance and yet you want to live in the land of plenty, right? And
land
free,
of the free.
And land of the free. So there's nowhere else in the world you can go to that's better, but you want to offend
right.
Your fellow American sensibilities here. You know what? Yeah. When you say the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, by the way, patriotism is a good thing, all right? It's not a neutral thing.
Right.
Patriotism to the United States is a good thing. And so when you say the Pledge of Allegiance, or you stand for the national anthem and put your hand over your heart or take your hat off, you are showing appreciation for living in the best country in the world. Okay? The best country in the world. That's why Colin Kaepernick doesn't move to Angola.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
He could go somewhere else. There's plenty of other countries he could live in. He's got the money. Nike made sure of that. He's killing it. So he could go live anywhere in the world he wanted to live to show us where the best place to live is in the world for his right. For his causes. But when you stand and show respect, you are honoring also, I mentioned you're showing appreciation, and I say to God, for living in the greatest country in the world, the best place in the world to live. Why? Because people, you're also honoring those who gave their lives, not only gave their lives, but fought whether they gave their lives or not.
Right.
Because some did give all, but some were maimed or injured, or some just fought for the cause and they weren't hurt. But you're showing appreciation to all those men and women who've served our country to defend our freedoms and our liberty and our way of life. A lot of younger people, I think, and I'm not every generation sort of dumps on the younger generation.
The next generation.
I don't mean to do that or sound like that person. I'm just saying the further you move away from the cost of freedom,
right.
the less you appreciate it. And that's just human nature. That's just how we all are. So we're reminded, right, mm-hmm. of the price that was paid for freedom and liberty and our way of life and our country and self-government by such things as the national anthem.
Right.
And the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
It reminds me what a remarkable experiment this democracy that we have is. Before 1776, roughly, there was no such thing as representative government, and the freedoms that we now take for granted and trample were unknown. And it was governments were oppressive, they were tyrannical, the powerful flourished and the weak didn't. And even now, the United States is unique among nations for having the protections that we have that allow people to trample the pledge of the Constitution.
Yeah. Well, also it gives you the right to correct things or to protest things you see as wrong or injustices, which is another wonderful aspect of America. Because look at, can you at least not stand up for that, for the right to do that?
Yep.
Because look what happened in Hong Kong.
Right.
You know, there's no tolerance by the Chinese government, communist Chinese government. A totalitarian system, they crack down on any kind of dissent. They've been burning down churches over in burning down or tearing down churches over in China when they feel like the Christians are getting, losing their allegiance to the atheistic state.
Right.
You don't have any right to recourse. You don't go to any court and say, hey, the government tore down our church.
Yeah.
This is wrong.
We need due process.
Yeah. So anyway, I just think that I think the national anthem, the Pledge of Allegiance, those kinds of things are a reminder.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's good for all of us to do it. When we, it's good for the children at school to stand up for the Pledge of Allegiance to the American flag. And it shouldn't be a Republican Democrat thing. It's good to at ball games and special events to sing the national anthem to be reminded of patriotism and those things. So anyway,
Democrats are wrapping themselves in the pledge in the case of Nancy Pelosi, the Constitution for sure. They have been talking about that they have to be faithful to the Constitution when it's convenient. Eric Swalwell, congressman from California, kind of unilaterally...
Democrat or Republican?
Democrat from California.
Okay.
Was a former presidential candidate. He dropped out.
Couldn't get any traction.
Right, right. But he kind of did away with the Fifth Amendment.
By himself?
By himself. Listen to what Eric...
That didn't even make the news that I saw.
No, it's amazing.
So the Fifth Amendment is no longer in the Constitution?
Not according to Eric Swalwell, right?
Okay.
Listen to what he said. This is with regard to President Trump not just offering everything that the Democrats asked for records-wise in their impeachment trial.
Send us the witnesses who you continue to block from us hearing, because unless you send those to us, we can only conclude that you're guilty, because in America, innocent men do not hide and conceal evidence. In fact, Wolf, they do just the opposite. They are forthcoming and they want to cooperate. And the president is acting like a very guilty person right now.
There you go. Innocent people in this country, well, they cooperate with all kinds of investigations and everything else. So the Fifth Amendment apparently is repealed.
Yeah. Smart people do not... turn over evidence to people that don't have to.
And people who are not investigating in good faith, especially.
Yeah.
So, yes. Some Republicans, you might remember, you know that some, not all Republicans are necessarily on board with President Trump. There's a group of who call themselves and are called Never Trumpers who have started a super PAC. These include John Kasich, former governor of Ohio, Republican operative Rick Wilson, and Kellyanne Conway's husband, George Conway, are all part of starting this. They're going to spend money and have an extensive advertising campaign in battleground states, and they hope to persuade dissatisfied Republicans to vote against the president in 2020.
So that a Democrat can become president.
Well, Yes. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, they would prefer
they
a Democrat.
They would prefer a socialist over Donald Trump.
Yes.
Even though they say they're conservative.
Yes. And someone has to explain to me or maybe to them how you vote against a president.
You vote for the other person on the ballot.
Yeah.
Well, this is a tiny group of people, relatively speaking.
Mm-hmm.
With a lot of money.
But they're not going to have any effect. People know.
They've been trying.
People know that when you get right down to it, you have to choose between two candidates. And you're not always going to, the one you vote for, you're not always going to agree with them 100%. And right. That happens in all elections. Sometimes you just have to pick the best one available who can win, right?
Yep.
And now if you don't care about whether you win or not, you never want to govern, you never want to see any policies instituted, then, yeah, you can vote for Ralph Nader, or you can vote for some third, fourth, fifth, sixth party person and say, you know, that you were righteous and you did the right thing. So that's a call sometimes that we all have to make. But when it comes down to it, the vast majority of Americans understand that in the presidential election, it comes down to who your best choice is.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I voted for Ted Cruz in the primary. I didn't vote for Donald Trump.
You didn't vote against Donald Trump necessarily. You voted for Ted Cruz, though, right?
I voted for Ted. Well, I had some real concerns about Donald Trump. I did. Because he was never a Republican, and he never a conservative in his politics till recently. So I was skeptical.
A lot of unknowns there.
Well, I was skeptical. So no, I wasn't anti-Trump, but I wasn't vehemently anti-Trump, but I did have some concerns.
You made a judgment call based on.
But I thought Ted Cruz was the best,
right?
One philosophically, The things Ted Cruz believed in, he had a proven track record.
But the people
and
in
now,
this...
But to continue on lecturing you, Steve,
yes.
here because I can.
Yes, you can.
Okay. Guess what? The people who voted in the Republican primaries across America didn't agree with me that Ted Cruz was the best choice. I think Cruz finished second, right?
Yes.
I think he finished second. But far and away, Donald Trump was the choice of the vast majority of people who voted in the Republican primary. So I dealt with that in my own way. I went away for 3 days and I had a solitude in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And then I decided to come out of there and deal with the fact that my guy lost. And when I dealt with that, I was left with... Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton.
Right.
And how many of us remember this choice?
Yep.
Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. Well, Donald Trump is wanting to be the friend, wanting to be my friend. He reached out to the Christian community. He got Mike Pence as his VP. He said, I'm going to select pro-life judges and conservative judges. And I promise you that, he said. I promise you that. Well, guess what? He's fulfilled every promise he's made on that. And that's the most important thing to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. None of us probably expected any candidate, Trump included, to actually follow through on everything that they promised. It's just kind of
You couldn't
politics.
Have done any better.
No.
You might. So Ted Cruz might have done as well, but you could not have done any better. I also think, with all due respect to Senator Cruz or any of the other Republican candidates, who were in that field at the time, they could not have beat Hillary Clinton.
Hmm.
Donald Trump was the only one. Robert Jeffress told me this before the election. Dr. Jeffress?
He did.
Because remember, Dr. Jeffress early on got behind Donald Trump, and he took a lot of flack for it, Robert did. And he took some of it from me. And I'm his friend.
Right.
But I didn't like the fact that he was, you know, because I didn't know about Trump at the time. And I thought, Robert, you're risking your credibility here. And I asked Robert, did God tell you to do that? He didn't say that God told him to do that. But Robert was right. Here's how Robert Jeffress was right. Donald Trump was the only, this is what I believe, Donald Trump was the only one in that field, and there were a lot of good men in that field, and women too, who could beat Hillary Clinton.
Right.
Because of the special dynamics that Trump offered, namely his ability to bring Democrats and independents over to vote for him in important states, swing states like Ohio, like Pennsylvania, like Michigan, like Wisconsin, that Rust Belt, they call it, or the I call it Big Ten country, where Republicans had not done well.
Right.
And I think Hillary Clinton would have beat any other Republican in any of those states except Donald Trump. And also, remember, Donald Trump had 10 years of a number one television show.
Yeah.
Okay? He already had national name ID.
And everybody didn't hate him either, oddly enough.
No. And he came across as, and I think he's genuine about this, as wanting to make America great again.
Right.
So he represented some old school patriotism that a lot of people connected to. And so so he won.
Here we are.
Here we are. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story.
As we close, I want to bring you breaking news. We have uncovered an Antifa training video. You got to hear this, folks. This is a training video.
You're not joking. You're being serious.
Well, I kind of am.
Okay.
You would have figured this out. This is a satirical Antifa training video. I want you to hear what Antifa is training their people to do. This is Cut 17.
Here are six tips that will help you take your anarchy to the next level. Number one, dress to impress. Dress for the riot you want, not the riot you have. That might involve doing a little shoplifting. Number two, props. Nothing says we mean business more than destroying an actual business. Number three, fighting. If you don't outnumber your innocent opponent by at least 20-1, then that is not a fight you want. Someone could get hurt. Number four, cardio. You're going to be doing a lot of running away.
Who is that? That's funny.
That is a...
That's Antifa? How to be a good Antifa participant whatever? Member?
It was tweeted. It was retweeted out by Andy Ngo, journalist that was...
Yeah.
He knows all about Antifa.
He does know all about
Antifa. That sounds like something the Babylon Bee would do.
Right? Speaking of the Babylon Bee, the headline in the Babylon Bee is that while Trump... Where, let me find it. The headline is, look, is that Trump committing an impeachable offense, Mitch McConnell says, distracting Dems while more conservative judges sneak by.
Lifelong appointments.
Right.
Also, there was one on the Babylon Bee, which is a satirical site. Last night I saw it said they were interviewing citizens of Gomorrah who didn't understand why America hadn't been destroyed yet.
Right.
That's pretty good.
Those guys at the Babylon Bee, they are funny.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised how many people don't understand that it's satirical.
Right, well.
Maybe people who are unfamiliar
Snopes.
With it.
Snopes. The Washington Post assumed it's Snopes.
So you have a Christian satire site, and Snopes is wants to make sure that people know whether what they say is true or not.
And people get all, if you read the comments, people who have never heard of Babylon Bee, they go for the first time, they get all kind of upset.
Right.
At the taking the headlines.
If you got to explain every joke, just, you know those people.
Yeah.
All right. They're so much fun to be around. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Walker.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Brent Creeley. We thank Brent for his producing the show today and Fred Jackson for his contributions. We shall see you back tomorrow, folks. Hope you have a wonderful afternoon. Keep listening to American Family Radio.